Good morning. We are blessed to be blessed. This church, I am so proud to be a part of this church. The energy and the helping, everybody loves each other. And I was reminded this morning by, is it Dave? Huh?
Brent.
By Brent. That's the reason they joined the church too. So I just want to start and letting you know that today is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is celebrating God's work, our hands. It is a day that all Lutherans across the United States go out together and serve their community. Well, when this topic came up at the OR committee meeting, we responded by saying, hey, we already do all of this. Why do we need a special day? And actually, we should change the name to God's Work, Our Hands. This morning, members of the Outreach, Advocacy, and Rapid Response, that's OR for short, members of our committee will be sharing some of their thoughts and experiences with you. Loving, liberated service to others is more than a one-time deal at All Saints. Mission happens every day of the year here. Being baptized into Christ's life creates a whole new world of relationships with God, with others, and even with ourselves. So to begin with, I'd like to share with you some of the things I learned along the way as the new chair for the Outreach Committee. So what is advocacy? Scratch my head. Well, it's defined as any action that speaks in favor of others. It recommends, it argues for a cause, it supports and defends, or it pleads for others on behalf for those who cannot plead for themselves. Well, at my very first OR meeting, I was educated. Judy Messel, who I'm proud to call my friend now, is very knowledgeable about standing up for friends, for others. Not so much by doing, but rather by speaking for others who cannot speak up and stand up for them, writing letters, making phone calls, attending meetings. She knows what to say and what to do to make people take action. As I got to know Judy, it was obvious to me that this church, this city, and this state is lucky to have Judy working for the least of these. Then as time went on, as my committee, we meet on a monthly basis, I was very lucky to get to know Karen Hyde. We have a lot in common. We're both retired nurses, and we have both lived overseas. We had so much to share with each other about our experiences. Well, do you know that for the last 2 years, Karen has been donating her land to the Indigenous Farm Hub program? This program teaches young Indigenous farmers how to work the land and give access to those in need of fresh produce. I also learned about Family Promise. This is a program that this church has supported for 18 years. All Saints opened their doors right here, these doors. They slept here, the homeless slept here, they ate here, and their children played here. Today, we continue to support them with both monetary donations as well as in-kind donations. And then there is Sierra Vista School here in the northwest part of Albuquerque for over 20 years. You all of us have been the sole support for this weekend meals program. And the Roadrunner Food Bank volunteers, and our quilters and Mad Hatters, and the list goes on and on. I know that there's at least a dozen more that projects that I should have mentioned, but I think you get the point. The people of All Saints are passionate about helping others, and sometimes that means going just a little bit outside of our comfort zones. So out in the community, we are known, and this is coming from other people telling us this, out in the community, we are known as the church that sends food to Sierra Vista, or the super church with lots of volunteers for the asylum seekers. So we have a reputation here, and we need to uphold it. So I would like to share with you another mission that is near and dear to my heart. And the reason I'm sharing it is because it tells a bit about my journey to where I am now. This was before I had gray hair. I think about this as a blessing that God allowed me to have. In 1995, Patrick and I joined a mission group called Orphan Medical Network. We traveled to Zambia, that's a country in Africa, to a small town called Kitwe. But the team wasn't there to serve people in the city. We traveled to the bush, to the villages, where the citizens lived in grass and mud huts, cooked their meals over an open fire, and bathed and drank from a nearby river. We tended to burns and deep cuts, colds and earaches. We handed out vitamins, antibiotics, reading glasses, and birthing kits for the pregnant women. When we weren't attending to medical needs, we played with the children. Yeah, there's that playmate there. And we learned how resourceful they were. They made soccer balls out of string and bags and scraps of material and kept rolling it till it was big enough to play. And then they played in their bare feet. They played tic-tac-toe in the dirt with stones. We don't hear radios or the sound of a TV. Not in Zambia. We hear singing. They taught us their songs and their dances. And each year that we returned to Zambia, we grew to love and know the children and parents we served for only a short moment in their lives. So, this is where my love for serving the least of these started. I have shared these brief memories with you so that you can be reminded that the need to help another human being is all around us. It's here in Albuquerque, and it's around the world, advocating and helping and defending those we don't even know, or know only for a brief period of time. So let us not forget to gladden the heart of a human being, to feed the hungry, to help the afflicted, to lighten the sorrow of the sorrowful, and to remove the wrongs of the injured. For Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Amen.
Good morning. Many of you have at least heard about, and most of you have served with Family Promise when we hosted them in our church here, got to know them, got to know who they are, and such. And you've heard us many, many times coming and asking for volunteers and for food and for supplies, but we're not here for that today. We want to share with you the impact that your volunteering and contributing has on the recipients of these volunteers. Vicki and I made three deliveries a couple years ago in different times before COVID, and we delivered gifts to three families we had sponsored for Christmas that year. This is a particularly heartwarming story about Carlos Immaculata, his wife Immaculata, and their 5 and 9-year-old children, a family we had also hosted here at our church and who had recently graduated into their own apartment, but they had almost nothing. And they were worrying so about their children and having Christmas. On each of the children's, okay, Immaculata had had a stroke when she was here, was just recovering. She was still in a wheelchair, and Carlos, her husband, was the caretaker, so he had lost his job, and that put them in this situation. On each of the children's wish lists was a bike, and on the father's wish list, I only want bikes for my children. Nothing for me. When we got to the house and the father saw the wrapped bikes in Vicky's truck, he helped us carry them out so we could put them all in the storeroom and the gifts before the kids came from school. He was ecstatic and just kept saying, I can't believe both of my children will finally have bikes. When we then brought in a Christmas tree and decorations, because I had heard from Family Promise that they had nothing like that, both mom and dad were in tears saying, our children will have a Christmas this year. There really are angels in this world. You are all angels. By then, both Vicky and I were in tears also. The reaction is pretty much standard from all the families who receive from this program and from the gifts and volunteers. Vicky has another one too that she'd like to share.
We had another family, Mark and Connie and Leilani. I don't know if you remember them. Leilani was a little firecracker. She was a lot of fun. She was a 13-year-old. But we also delivered Christmas gifts to them. And they too, Mark had lost his feet to diabetes. He was in serious illness here, but then he was feeling better actually with his feet gone. So he was in a wheelchair. And they were looking also at celebrating a pretty bare Christmas. But we came in, they invited us in, we sat down and handed them gifts and just chatted a little while. But as we left, we got blessings from them. Once again, they had tears and we had tears and they gave us blessings and we gave them blessings. And it was just, I don't know, it was just a really profound and lovely experience. And I find that I know that we are saved by grace, by the grace of God, by the grace of Jesus's suffering and death. So the only way that I have to repay that grace, there is not enough love in my heart or things that I could do that would repay it. So I try and pass that grace on. And so that's why we do what we do, is we're passing on the grace. We're being the hands and feet of Jesus, since he can't be here just at the moment. We get to do that, and we get the blessings from that as well as giving the blessings. So it's an honor, it's a joy. And whatever you can do, even if you're homebound, there are things that you can do. Just see me and I'll let you know.
And then I just want to mention one other, the important one that, excuse me, Ray mentioned also about our food collections in Sierra Vista. I've had a couple experiences in the community that I think everybody should hear and feel and know about it. We just recently collected a huge collection that I guess, who brought it over? Vicky and Don brought it over. And
it filled a whole bed of my plus our rest.
But on two different occasions when I've been out in the community, one at a grocery store, one at a jewelry kiosk, general conversation occurred. I don't know how it came about, but somehow church or food or collections or volunteering must have come up. And in the grocery store, it was with a parent, turned out to be a parent from Sierra Vista. And when she became aware somehow that I was a member of All Saints, she said, oh, tell everyone there how much you are all appreciated for your generosity and what a difference it makes to so many children. The other one at the jewelry kiosk turned out to be a teacher over at Sierra Vista. And we were talking about food collections and something came up about her church and I said I was aware of it or said something. And she said, you must be from All Saints Church. You are all so special to us. Thank you so very, very much. And as Ray mentioned, we're known in the community, but we don't always hear it. And it was so good and so heartwarming to hear these kinds of things. And as Proverbs 22:9 says, happy are generous people because they give some of their food to the poor. God's work, our hands in the community.
As we've heard from these wonderful stories, giving directly of our time and treasure is God's work, our hands. I'm going to turn to something else, though. Going to our governments and speaking up for justice for all people is God's work, our voices. These two distinct kinds of work are inspired by the same source, though. As the Reverend Dr. Jacob Dar Maraj of the United Methodist Church says, and I just love this, there is a fundamental difference between charity and advocacy. Charity is the translator of the gospel. Advocacy is the interpreter of the gospel. As people of faith, we do both. The great direct service work that All Saints does just goes hand in hand with advocacy. As advocates, we speak up so that more parents at Sierra Vista can have sustainable livelihoods and provide sufficient food for their children. We speak up to end homelessness so that Family Promises work is done. We speak up for U.S. foreign policy that promotes prosperity and safety in other countries so that people don't have to flee and seek asylum abroad. It sounds a little utopian, I will admit. I thought that as I was writing this, but maybe it isn't. On God's abundant earth, it is something to strive for. Our advocacy can be as involved or simple as each of us likes. Here are three examples of what we have done at All Saints recently. First, Lutheran Advocacy Ministry. Throughout the pandemic, Kurt Rager and I met in little Zoom boxes with people from all over the state, and ultimately with the governor's office. Sometimes legislators joined us. Our purpose? We were there to discuss food for New Mexicans, how to grow it justly so that both large and small scale farmers have access to land, water, and markets, and how to get that food to hungry people. Then when some of those ideas turn into state legislation, and sometimes they do, many of you spoke up and asked your representatives and senators to support this bill. Our great food victory this year was the universal free school meals. Now we're one of eight states with this program. And we're helping New Mexico farmers and ranchers by connecting schools with growers to put fresh local products into the school cafeterias. Now, no child of low-wage parents has to be embarrassed by getting food as a handout. All children will sit together at the table and eat a good school meal on a more equitable basis. Second, Bread for the World. Every year, Krish Tippett organizes us to contact our members of Congress about legislation designed to reduce hunger both at home and abroad. This year, we spoke up, of course, for the good policy in the U.S. Farm Bill. Third, the ELCA. Our church often asks us to contact Congress and speak up on such topics as immigration and U.S. policies affecting indigenous sovereign nations. These are just two examples. But in all of this, we follow the great advocates of Scripture, among them Moses, Nathan, Esther, Isaiah, Amos, and Paul. We are in good company. Thank you.